Most of what I want to do this afternoon, because I know this is kind of a tough part. You've had lunch, you've already been to one class, and it's past my nap time. So you're pushing the envelope, but I appreciate you here. So what I want to be able to do is I want to engage you a little bit. I know a lot of what this is developed around is to get you listening and share this with you, but I'm going to go ahead and encourage you in this songbook, and I'm going to get David, if you don't mind, to help pass some of these out. John, if you don't mind kind of moving this about. We're not going to do a whole ton of singing, but I do want to go ahead. I do want to go ahead and get you exposed to some songs. Most all of them, I think you know them already. You're not going to hear anything that you haven't probably seen before. How many of you have this book in your congregations? Some have some have the Great Songs of the Church. Some have Songs of Faith and Praise. This is Songs of Faith and Praise. There's another one that's very similar to it, Praise for the Lord.
Praise for the Lord.
Yep. So there's several different standards and ones that you can, that your congregation will have. A lot of them we keep in our pews. We don't even pick them up because we use the screen, which I love for a couple of reasons. One, it gets the head up and you're no longer singing like this and singing down to the pages. Even Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved her. I know those words. I don't have to look here, but that's what I have a tendency to do. Up on the screen, it projects my voice up that way. So I'm thankful for that. But we cannot forget this, because there's a wealth of songs in here. If we're not careful, we'll fly right past them. I say in my seminars, and I want you to understand that this should always be your number one book. Period, in the sense. If you don't make your Bible your number one book, then you're behind the eight ball already. But ladies and gentlemen, let this be your number two book. And I say that because just as you would study this and read through it and let it seep into your mind, there are some gems of biblical truth inside here that composers have put together that I can memorize and I can hold on and I can recall them. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. There is no tender voice like yours that can give me the kind of peace I need. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. When you have times in your life when you're struggling, if you have a song on your heart, ladies and gentlemen, that'll take you through it. That'll help you through that time. It's almost like praying without ceasing is what it's like, in my opinion. So, I encourage you to have that. But we talked about, at least the way this is phrased, is revitalizing our worship in song. One of the things that we really focus on, and I talk about this in more detail in my seminars, we really focus on making sure that we follow those five acts of worship like we should, and well we should. We've got some good prayers. We've got some scripture reading. We're going to always remember the Lord's Supper. We're going to do some singing, and we have to have the preaching, and the preaching is important to the point that we will do this. That preacher is paid a salary because we want it done right. And if he doesn't do what he ought to do, well, then the elders got to talk to him and say, this is not where we're going to go. However, if somebody said, you know what? I want to do some preaching. Can I preach? Guess what the congregation would say? Well, we already got our preacher. We're good for that. But if you go study, if you get yourself a good lesson, maybe we'll let you catch on Wednesday night. And we'll get some preaching. And we want to do that. But we got a guy that we pay to do that. And well, we should, because we value our preaching. But what happens when it comes to our singing? We do this. Who wants to lead singing? I do. I'll do it. Have you led singing before? We don't ask that question. We would never say, who wants to preach? Because we value our preaching, we should value our singing. Now, that doesn't mean we say you can't do it or you can't do it. That just means if you want to do it, be prepared. Study the songs. Know what the preacher's preaching about so the songs can support his lesson. Know what the key is. Know what the pitch is. Practice those. What are you doing with your hand? I'm not swatting flies. I'm giving you a tempo. There's some things that we need to maintain and expect from our song leaders as we go through that. What I want us to do is I want you to first look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Most of you already know what those are. You probably already said, I knew he was going to go there. And you're right. But I just want to do this because you need to catch what Paul is saying to both of these churches. It doesn't matter who picks which one up, but who has Colossians 3? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Usually the ones who have the Bible on their phones are a lot faster than the ones who are flipping, because they can just scroll right up. Do you have that, brother? Would you read that for me? This is Colossians chapter 3, verse 16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Very good. Who's got Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19?
Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart.
Paul uses these three phrases in this text, in my opinion, for a very specific reason. He is not just saying, for emphasis, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Let me say, I want you to sing psalms and sing hymns, and I'm saying again, sing spiritual songs. I don't believe he's giving that emphasis. I think he's telling us there are three styles of singing I want you to do. When it comes to your worship and praise to God, there's basically three styles that you need to do. Now, obviously, that encompasses all of our singing that we do. But a song, this is my opinion, this is from other people who I think that they're close on. But this is why I want to tell you this. I'll tell you in a second. A psalm is going to be a song that I would sing that comes from the text, i.e. the 23rd Psalm. What is the 23rd Psalm? You could sing it. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. That is a psalm. It's scripture. Or how about Lamentations chapter 3? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The ESV, that's exactly how it reads. You can actually sing it and read it right there. Or, and the gentleman, Jack and Chris mentioned it in class just a moment ago, the 51st Psalm. Creating me a clean heart, oh God. See, when we take scripture and we sing them, and that's just three, we're singing psalms. We're singing scripture. We're singing the text. A hymn, and this is just my opinion, it could very well be scripture, but in order for me to understand what I'm singing, I would call a hymn a song that I sing to, are you ready for this? A song that I sing to Him. It's a song that I give to my God. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you will lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. See, that's a song that I'm singing to my God. I'm singing it to Him. Are you getting any benefit? Just knowing that your brothers that I'm singing with you, and you're singing with me, and we admonish and encourage each other. But this is a song that I sing to Him. And you can find those. Ladies and gentlemen, you can flip through your book and you can look and say, there's a song I'm singing to God. How about this one? A spiritual song. A spiritual song, and this again is my definition, is a song that I am literally singing to encourage you with. And therefore, I need you to sing back to me. Like, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift? Or will you remain firm? That's a spiritual song that we sing to one another to encourage each other. Now, is this exact? Is this scripture? Or is this interpretation? It's my interpretation. But the reason I do this is because of what Paul said to the church in Corinthians, in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, you remember, he said, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding. Meaning, when I pray, my mind's not thinking about this, and the other. I'm thinking about what I'm praying about. But then in the same breath, Paul says, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding. When you sing, do you know what you're singing? Do you really understand what it is that you're singing? Are you singing, like Paul said, scripture? Or are you singing to admonish each other? Maybe you're singing to God. Did you realize you're singing to God? Did you realize you're actually offering a song of praise to Him? If I sing without thinking about what I'm doing, I'm not singing with understanding. And then I wonder what kind of sacrifice I'm offering. Because the Hebrew writer says, the sacrifice is the fruit of our lips. So what kind of sacrifice is that? This is all part of why I try to build in with the workshop. But I give you this for this main reason. We're going to look at 10 songs, and you got the songbook there. There are 1,030 songs marked in this book. There's actually only about 820 actual songs. Because there's scriptures, there's segues, there's some medley titles. But there's 820 songs. So we're going to look at 10. And I implore you, make this your number two favorite book. Spend time in it. Look at it. Say, man, we haven't sung this one in a long time. I really encourage you, whether you're preaching or whether you're an elder or whether you're a deacon or whatever, or maybe you're just Joe member who's faithful to come into any kind of opportunity for enrichment, look at ways that your congregation can sing outside of the 10 songs on Sunday morning, the 5 songs on Sunday night, and the 2 songs on Wednesday night. Look for ways that we can sing more. And the best way, I'd say, is get together on Sunday evening before worship. Church starts at 5, get together at 4:30, and tell folks we're going to get together on the first Sunday of every month and sing. We're just going to sing. No screens, just the books. Bring your favorites. Maybe we're going to teach some. We've got to be people who will sing. So I want to encourage you that first. Let's start first with in the book. I'm going to have you turn there. And we'll sing a little bit too. But I wanted to take you through this so you can get an idea of, if I'm going to revitalize my worship, ladies and gentlemen, I have to understand what I'm singing. Song number two. If I was directing it, leading it, that's exactly how to call it off. Song number two is, actually, I put my numbers wrong. I should have said song number three, but we'll look at two since it's in there. What is the name of that song? Love that song. That's got a lot of energy to it. It's 5 verses. It starts with, "We praise thee, O God." Second verse, "We praise thee, O God." Third verse, "All glory and praise." Fourth verse, "All glory and praise." But then what does the fifth verse do? It picks us up from the chorus. Revive us again. Revive us again. Because we're taking the energy from that chorus and building on it. You've got to look. The reason, this is not the one I want us to talk about, but I'll stay here for a second. Do you remember the first time you were in church growing up and hearing singing? Do you remember that? For most of us, that's just one of those things we've done. We don't remember it. I remember this one. I remember the song, and I don't even know how old I was. I don't know if I was 3 or 4 or what, but I can remember sitting, I don't even know if it was in Oklahoma, or if it was in Kansas, or if it was in Texas. I don't remember where we lived, but I remember exactly where I was sitting in the auditorium. I was over on the far side of my family, closest to the wall, and this song started. We praise thee, O God, and for whatever reason, that song is stuck in my head. That's just a memory that was burned there. That's a good song, but I want to take you to 3. And there's a reason I want to take you to 3. Song number 3 is actually which one of these? A psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song?
Hymn.
A hymn. Why is it a hymn?
Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah.
Praising Jehovah. Very good. What else?
That's what I was going to say.
And praising God. Take a look at the, and you can tell this because sometimes the editors will give you this. What's right below the title?
For his name alone is exalted.
It says, "For his name alone is exalted." What's the song? If you've got your Bible, hold on to your number 2 book. Keep it open there. But open up your first favorite book and go to Psalm 148. The reason I wanted to bring this out to you, about a year or two ago, there was a young college girl. She was already out of college. But she was at church visiting with our family. When we got home, she said, "I don't understand that song we sang." She said, "We sang that song, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah." And she said, "Why would it talk about dragons? Why would it talk about dragons? That's kind of fictitious." And I said, "Well, actually, that's scripture. If you read the 148th Psalm, I'm going to go ahead and start on the first verse. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the," where?
Highest.
Verse 2, "Praise him all his angels, praise him all ye hosts." Keep singing that song. "Praise Jehovah in the highest, all his angels praise proclaim." Keep going. "All his hosts together praise." Sing with me. sun and moon and stars on high. We'll keep going. Praise him, O ye heavens, and ye floods above the sky. We'll stop right there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon and stars of light. We just sing that one. Praise him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. We're singing scripture. When we're singing this song, which I think we have probably sung so to in Knee-High the Grasshopper, these little babies are going to remember this song as they grow through life, just like you did. You're singing scripture. You're singing the text in praise to our God, to him. Keep looking at this. I'm going to take you to verse 2. Let them praises give Jehovah. They were made at his command. Verse 5. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which will not pass away. Verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps. Hell, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds, fulfilling his words. Do you know what we just did? We're singing scripture. Let's sing verse 2. But instead of, this may be a challenge for you. Let me see if you can do it. Instead of singing out of your number 2 favorite book, sing out of your number 1 favorite book. Let's see if we can do this one. Let them praises give Jehovah. They were made at his command. Them forever he established. His decree shall ever stand. From the earth, oh, praise Jehovah. Oh, ye floods, ye dragons, all. Fire and hail and snow and vapor, stormy winds that hear him call. Verse 9 begins in verse 3 as we sing it. Mountains and all hills, fruited trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl. Does that sound familiar? That's what we're singing. And it's right here in the text. Kings of earth and all ye peoples, princes, greaters, judges, all right there. Praise his name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Ladies and gentlemen, in verse 1, 2, and 3, we just covered Psalm 148, verses 1 through 12. We sang it. And we sang a psalm that gave glory to our God. But there's a refrain or a chorus in this song. How does that go? Verse 13. Let them praises give Jehovah. Why? Because his name alone is exalted. And his glory is above the earth. And his glory is exalted. And then we throw in a little bit of musical piece. And his glory is exalted. And one more time for emphasis. And his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. When we understand, and when we start to understand what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen, that changes everything. Now it's not just I'm singing another song. I pick on my son in this seminar, in this workshop that I do, and I'll do it now even though he's not here to defend himself. When he was 10 years old, is that how old your sweetheart? When Dylan was probably about a year or maybe 2 years younger than you, he was probably 7 or 8, we were at Waterview Church of Christ in Richardson. And I would lead singing every Sunday morning. And Mom would sit with the kids down in the pew. And as soon as song service was done, and as the preaching got ready, I came and sat down with my family. And I'll never forget one time I came down, and Dylan, my youngest, was sitting beside me. And Mom was there and the other two on that end. So I sat down right beside him. And as I got settled down and grabbed my Bible to get ready for the sermon, I looked over and we had bulletins. Do you all have a bulletin in your congregation? And some of the bulletins will list out what the order of worship is going to be. And that's what Waterview did. Well, Dylan had taken that order of worship, that bulletin, and with the little golf pencil that's in the front, back of the pew in front of you, he had taken that and he had checked off song, song, prayer, song, scripture reading, Lord's Supper, song. You know what he was doing? He was checking them off. And as a dad, I thought, what is he doing? He don't know what to be. You need to be paying. Mom, what are you doing? Make sure he pays attention. But he was a kid just checking it off as he's going. I'm afraid we still do that sometimes. I'm afraid we still check it off. Okay, got that song done. What's next? Oh, is it time for prayer? Okay. We don't have anything in our hands. There's no little golf pencil. There's nothing that we're making a check on. But in our mind, we're going, well, what's next? Okay, oh, it's time for the Lord's Supper. Okay, here we go. Let's do the Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper's done. Time for another song? What's that song? Oh, okay, good. Now we got the song going. We have got to realize that our worship, if we're going to revitalize our worship, ladies and gentlemen, it's got to come from here, not just from here. Should we be thinking about what we're doing? Absolutely. Should we be following God's word? Without a doubt. But be careful that we don't catch ourselves just going through the motions and just checking the list. Song number 3 was Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. Let's skip to the hundreds. And I'm going to take you to 117. Again, remember, I just grabbed one from each of these. 117. Song number 117. This may be one y'all don't sing very much. I don't know. How many know God is the fountain whence? God is the fountain whence. Very majestic sounding. Of course, you're talking about something that's written over 200 years ago when you consider the author that way. But I want you to hear these words because this is poetry. This is poetry that we need to make sure we're understanding what we're singing. God is the fountain from whence 10,000 blessings will flow. God blesses us. 10,000 is just a numerical number to say a whole lot, more than I could ever begin to count. Whence is not a word I use very often. From whence did you come today? I don't talk like that. I say, where did you come from today? Where were you? But when I say the word whence, I have to consider it's 200 years old. I can teach our kids this. We can teach our children this so they can sing with understanding. 10,000 blessings flow from our God. To him, my life, my health, and my friends, and everything that's good, I owe to him. That's what I said in that verse. To him, my life, my health, and friends, and every good I owe. I owe all that to him. The comforts that he affords to me, they're not a little bit. They're neither few, nor are they small. Which means the comforts he gives me are enormous. He is the source of my fresh delights. Think about the poetry of that. The good things I get from my God. He's my portion. He's everything to me. That's what that verse says. And that's what we sing. He fills my heart with joy. And he takes my lips and he prepares them to praise him. He tunes my lips for praise. You see, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we think, well, I've got to get this ready. No, we've got to give this to God. Because we are weak vessels. And he is a majestic God. And to his glory I'll devote. This is an interesting one because it can be confusing sometimes. And to God's glory I will devote what? The remnant of my days. David, what does that mean? The remnant of my days.
What remains?
What's left over? You got to think that through. Just give me what's left over of my days. Is that what it means? From this day forward. From now on, he gets me all. That's the proclamation that this spiritual song is saying to my friends. Because remember, we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I am saying to you, God is the fountain from whenever I get all my blessings. And I owe it all to him. He gives me comforts that aren't just a few comforts, not small. He gives me big comforts. My God does. And he fills, did you know he fills my heart with praise? Did you know he's the one who tunes my lips? It's not about me. And did you know this, David? From this point on, I'm going to dedicate and glorify him. I'm going to devote my life to him from here on. I'm professing that to you now. When we sing that, that's what we're doing. Do we understand what we're doing, or do we just go through the motions? Sometimes we just go through the motions. We check the box, and I've sung the song, and there we go. Never even realizing what I had just said to my God and to my brothers and sisters and where it's coming from. Just a little bit of poetry. 227 is, I want to give you a lesson on this. So I'm going to teach you something from this lesson, which you know the song. But I want you to see something. This is incredible. I love this one. I love this song. You've sung it years and years and years. It's, good grief, it's more than 200 years old, and we're almost out of time. What time does this class go to?
45
minutes. Okay, so I got 15 minutes. Do you recognize the song? Yeah. On Zion's glory, very, very majestic. Dun, 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 dun. And we sing that with a lot of majesty and a lot of emphasis. But do you know what you're singing when you do this? You got to catch this or you miss it. Do you remember what John saw in Revelation? What did John write about in the book of Revelation? Do you remember? Heaven. He was able to see heaven. We read that in the book of Revelation. This author is giving us a glimpse of heaven. And we're singing about it. Listen to the words. On Zion's glorious summit, there stood a numerous host, a great bunch of folks. And all of them are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, just like in Revelation. And then listen to what it says next. They hymned their king. That means they sang to him. They glorified the king. And we read that in Revelation. They hymned their king with strains that would be musical sounds that were divine, beautiful. And then what do we sing next? I heard the song, and I really wish I could sing with them. But why do I sing that? Why do I say that? I heard the song and strove to join. Why do I say that?
Because we're not there yet.
Because I'm not there yet. This is a vision that I'm seeing. On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. I heard them singing, and I wanted to be a part of it. But I'm not there yet. Heard the song and strolled to... I want to do it, but I can't. I heard the song and strolled to join verse 2. Up here, that group, that throng, here are all who did what?
They suffered
sword and flame. We read about that in Hebrews. They suffer sword and flame. For what purpose? Just because they're good people?
True.
No, because they were standing by the truth. And for Jesus and for his name... Hear all who suffered sword of flame for truth or Jesus' lovely name, and they shout victory now. We have won. We finished it. We're at the throne. Shout victory now and bow before the great I am. We're reading about that vision that John wrote about. Verse 2. Because in this particular song, we don't sing the chorus until last, right? There's a reason. Verse 3. While everlasting ages roll. That's what eternity will be. Eternal love shall feast their soul. Their soul will feast on the love of God forever. I want to be a part of that. And scenes of bliss. Stay with this real quick. Scenes of bliss. Bliss is happiness. Scenes is what I see. What I see is happiness. Scenes of bliss forever new rise in succession to their view. What that tells me is in heaven there's not going to be any reruns. There's not going to be any times around the throne we go, oh, I've seen this part before. I'm going to go take a coffee break real quick. I've already caught this one. It's a good one. You guys will enjoy it. I've already seen this one. No, it's always new. It's always fresh. It's always before our God. The beauty of this song is incredible, this vision that I'm singing about heaven. But remember, I heard the song. I so wanted to sing, but I'm still here on earth. I'm still here. I strove to join. But then finally, it's almost like in the chorus, I can't take anymore. I got to sing with them. But how do I do it? Well, my best reference is Revelation or Isaiah, where we see scenes around the throne, and what did they say?
Holy,
holy, holy, holy. And so that's what I'm going to do. And so I start singing. I want to sing with them, so I'm going to do the best I can based on Scripture. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts on high adore. And I love this part. The guy stops singing and the ladies take over. Almost as if to say, what am I doing? I can't do this. I'm not worthy to sing. I can't do this. He's God. He's sovereign. And I am a mortal, sinful man. I can't be praising him. And so we stop. And the ladies say, who like me? Thy praise could sing. And we're like, yeah, we got to do this. Oh, Almighty King. And we're filled with that sense of, I'm going to do the very best I can. Because you are holy, holy, holy Lord. You see, when we capture it in a way, ladies and gentlemen, that gets us outside of that dun 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 da da dun 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 dun, and we sing the song, it's really good, but I don't even think about what I'm doing. This is a song that says, my God has got something great in store for me. And there are brothers and sisters who've already gone before, and they're ready for the reward. And I've heard from Scripture the song, and I want to be a part of it. I strove to join. You want to sing this one? Can we sing this one?
Good.
All right, that's good. Now, ladies, be ready, because we're going to let you have it there. And I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 ladies. You got to take it. We'll stand right beside you. On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host, redeemed by blood, and their King is strength divine. I heard a song I'm strove to join. I heard this song and strove to join. Hear all who suffer sword or blame for truth or Jesus' love. Name shall victory now hail the Lamb, and bow for the great I am, and bow before the great I am, while eternal love shall feast their soul and scenes bliss ever new, rising succession to their view, rising succession to their view. We gotta sing, don't we? Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts, whom I adore.
Who like me thy praise should sing,
O Almighty King. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts on high adore. Holy, holy, I am so thankful that God's given me the opportunity to be able to have a chance to live with Him forever. Amen. And that we're going to get to sing. And we won't have to worry about this when we're doing it. Because this gets in the way a lot of times. It squeaks, it squawks, it messes up. But this is what He's listening to. This is where he's at. We've only got time for, and I've got 2, 4, 6, 7 still left, so we're not going to hit all of them, but I'm going to throw some by you, and we'll just talk real quickly with them. 366. 366 is another one of those songs we've sung for years. It's a song that we call a Lord's Supper song. For what reason? It talks about Christ's crucifixion, His death, His resurrection, the Lord's Supper. But I bring it to you for this main reason. And I'm going to give everyone one, so I'm going to give you one of these pages. It's kind of my notes. I'm going to leave it here. So when we're done, if you want to grab one, you'll have that in case we don't get a chance to talk about it. This song ends with this. And show the death of our dear Lord. And that's actually scripture. until he come. And here's where you find the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. I say it for this reason. Now, the reason I pull this out. Tomorrow morning, you will, most all of us will have in our orders in our congregations, we'll have a song before the Lord's Supper. Some of us will have a scripture reading. Some will have someone who will speak. If you can coordinate, because coordination is important to me, in my opinion, whoever's doing that scripture reading, whoever's doing that, if you are, when you're singing this, have them read that passage. Because what that will do is that will instill in their minds what they've read in scripture, and then they will sing it. And that'll just be able to help concrete and cement and put that affirmation in their hearts. 492 is my next one. 492. We're going to just keep flying through these last few. This is one that I thought that, and we don't sing it very often, but I like what happens in verse 2. How many know this one? Only in thee, O Savior mine, dwells my soul in peace divine. Let me take you to the second verse. Only in thee, in Jesus Christ, a radiance bright shines like a beacon, and kind of like a flashlight. That's what Jesus is. He's our light. Guiding my pilgrim bark aright. Woo! That's not the bark, is it? It's not the bark on a tree. What is a pilgrim bark?
Ship.
It's a ship. It's a vessel. But see, if we don't educate our kids, because that's old English. This was written back in the early 1900s. When Chisholm penned this, people understood what a bark was, especially if you're maritime, if you're close to the sea or the ocean. But we need to make sure our kids understand when it says he's my beacon, he's my light, Jesus is the lighthouse, the beacon in the night, and he guides my vessel of life across the trackless sea of life. Only in thee when troubles molest, when with temptation I'm oppressed, there's a sweet covering of rest. And that's in Jesus. Only in Jesus. Now we have in Christ alone. So that would be a sister song to this one, I think. 538. We're going to keep moving past these because we're going to run out of time if I don't catch them. My hope is built on nothing less is another one that we're going to actually hit some scripture. You know what? I just gave you, you're going to pick those up in a minute. Let me encourage you with this. When you look at those 10 songs, ask yourself, was that a song, hymn, or a spiritual song? Did we just sing a hymn? Maybe it was from scripture, so it would be a hymn and a song. Or maybe I'll just sing and encourage my brother and sister. How about this one? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All the ground is sinking sand. Is this a song that is a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, good. There is some scripture. I'm going to show that to you in a little bit. It's always when we're giving God, when we're saying, Christ, I'm standing on you, you're my rock. But this is a song I'm singing to you, and you're hearing me say, when darkness seems to hide his face, veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. I'm telling you right now, when it gets tough, I'm going to trust in my God. I'm singing to you right now. This is a spiritual song. I'm telling you what I'm going to be doing. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. You know what I just did? I started quoting scripture. I started going, you can take it to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. I started quoting scripture as I'm inspiring and hopefully admonishing you.
What was the scripture again?
Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. And I'll go ahead and read that to you so you can catch that. You'll see it on the note page when you pick it up. But since you've got it open, you need to hear it. This is what the Hebrew writer says. I'll back up to verse 17. In the same way, God desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. My hope is built in nothing less. Verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. A hope that both is sure and steadfast. We sing that. And one which enters within the veil. V-E-I-L. The veil that closed off the Holy of Holies. What the Hebrew writer is telling us is Jesus tore that veil, went in and gave us access to God. And he's my anchor that holds within the veil, within the curtain. And so we sing, when times get tough, the high and stormy gale, the storms of life that are really beating my vessel, my bark up, my anchor, my Jesus, holds inside the Holy of Holies, inside the veil. And that's what I hold on to. And I read that in Scripture. Did you even realize you were singing that? Did you even realize that when you're singing that? I didn't. Ladies and gentlemen, it was years before I started realizing that, but I came to the realization, if I'm going to sing songs and understand what I'm doing, I better look at them a little bit closer. And I really implore you, if nothing else, spend more time looking at your number two book. What is this saying? My anchor holds within the veil. It's easy to sing. When all around my soul gives way, he da-da-da-da, da-da-da. Well, I'm talking about the Scripture. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Everything else is quicksand. But not with my God. Not with Christ. 681, and we're going to be almost out of time. This may be our last one. Oops, I'm afraid it will be. 681. Now, you're going to pick up those pages, hopefully. I only made 20 there, so if you need any more, feel free to make copies. This song right here, More Holiness Give Me. How many have sung this one? Know this one pretty well? Beautiful, beautiful song of prayer. And I would say this is indeed, ladies and gentlemen, a hymn. Because I'm singing to my God. I'm not asking you, David, to give me more holiness.
That's good.
I'm saying, God, more holiness give me. More strivings within. Did you know when you sing this song, there's only three verses, but each verse asks for eight things. If you do your math, this prayer is a prayer requesting 24 things from God. Take a look at it. More holiness. More strivings within. Consider all joy when you encounter various struggles, knowing that the testing of faith produces endurance, James. More patience in the suffering. More sorrow for my sins. When I commit sins, help me to be more sorrowful for that. Give me more faith in God, in my Savior, and more sense of the compassion and care that he has for me. Give me more joy while I serve. Help me to be more joyful in that. And help me to have more purpose in my prayer, to be more focused. That's the first verse. I ask for eight things. And then the second verse is asking for more gratitude. I want to be more thankful. I want to trust in God more. I want to have more pride in God's glory, not in me, but in the glory of God. Paul said that. More hope in his word. More hope in what God's word tells me. More tears for his sorrows. More pain at his grief. More meekness in my trials. And more praise when he gives me relief. And I love the last verse. Give me more purity. Help me be more pure. Give me the strength to overcome. And then listen to this one. Give me more freedom from the stains of the world. I don't want to be dirty. I don't want to look like the world. Keep me clean. And help me to long for home. Help me to strive to be with the saints around the throne. Help me to be more fit for your kingdom. And to be more useful. And to be more blessed and holy. Ultimately, the 24th thing that song asks for is I want to be more like Jesus. More holiness give me. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how many times I sang that before I actually realized I was offering a song prayer to my God, to him, asking for 24 things that I didn't even realize what I was asking for. If we are going to offer sacrifices of praise, if we are going to take our lips and sing songs to glorify him, we ought to think about what we're doing and teach our kids to do the same thing.